Hey everybody, welcome to bonus Small Town Murder. Bonus episode today. We're going to do an actual case today for you. A little mini case. We're not going to do a whole thing. We're going to do a mini case here. I'm James. That's Jimmy. If you're listening to the bonus, you probably know that already. That's why we're skipping over the formalities. Welcome to Small Town Murder.
It's a damn pleasure.
Bonus, damn it. Let's do this. Let's get right into this here. Okay. We'll do a quick little thing just to tell you a little drop about the town, and then we'll just get into this crazy murder. Nothing too intense here. We're looking at Mount Carmel, Kentucky. Now, we're doing this. This week, we did Kentucky.
We did.
As an episode. And this case here was a case I wanted to do so bad, but there just wasn't enough to fill a whole episode.
Okay.
So I'm like, but we need to tell people about it.
There's meat, no potatoes.
Fucking crazy. Oh, there's meat and potatoes and eggs also.
Okay.
That'll make sense in a minute.
But it's missing something else.
It's missing other things here. It's in Mount Carmel, Kentucky, which is in northeastern Kentucky.
Okay.
So we were in, it's all the way up there. Now we're in the northeast. It's in Fleming County, which was Fleming Neon that we did the one time there. Now, Mount Carmel itself has been a town since about 1825, which it was starting to become a town. A post office was established there in 1829 and remained in operation all the way up until 1932 when they fucking closed it down and never reopened it again.
They're done with the
mail. So they have no post office there. They had a post office for 100 years and they went, these people don't need a fucking post. They're not even mailing shit. Just close it. Close the goddamn doors of this fucking...
When's the last time we got a fucking letter?
They're not doing it. Yeah. So that was 1932. It's like mid-depression. They decided to close this thing down. It never came back. It's an unincorporated community is what it is here. Now, the way I picture this is basically all these people live in the trees and will not be counted.
Yeah.
And if census officials come on their properties, they'll be shot by rifles from a window.
That's
immediately.
A good bar.
That's what I feel like. Exactly.
Right.
That's what it is right there. Because I found this census site that has all the census information.
Yeah.
And I found, and it actually says this, quote, census data for Mount Carmel. And then under it, it says, as far as we can tell, Mount Carmel has not been included in past census counts, so there is no population information for this community. While we don't have census information for Mount Carmel, you might be interested in some of the nearby communities that we do have information for. And they tell us about two smaller towns that are 20 miles away that are, you know, 7,000 person towns.
Even the census says fuck them.
Fuck them. It's like it's too crazy to even go there. So it's rural, man.
Yeah.
This is out there. This is the northeastern, you know, woods of Kentucky. Like we said it before, this is we said it about the town we did in the regular episode.
Yeah.
If you hear a banjo, cover your butthole is the town motto. I feel like just watch out, it's coming for you.
It's on the license plate.
It's right there, right there. Which is weird because you don't normally see the word butthole on
it's
a
very
license
rare,
plate,
yeah.
But they cover your butthole, man. That's what it says.
I mean, Missouri, the show me state. You know what they mean?
Cover your butthole, pal. That's what it says there. You're like, all right, cover my butthole. I guess that's
all
what
right.
I'll do. So let's talk about some crazy shit that happened there.
Okay.
Let's talk about Stanley Neace, okay? N-E-A-S, or N-E-A-C-E,
okay.
Stanley Neace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Neace here, he was he had a little bit of a criminal history,
Okay.
Well, we'll put it this way: not a long and storied criminal history, but what he did really had a little bit of had some good pop to it.
A little extra what for?
Yeah, exactly. He only had like 10 hits, but 8 of them were home runs. Man, it's a fucking he's got some power.
Okay.
His Jesus Christ, man. So that's what's going on here. In 1993, January of 1993, he's arrested and charged with 2 counts of sodomy involving a child.
Yep.
Those are felony charges, thank God, as they should be.
Even in Kentucky.
Is there even in Kentucky? Well, if you're not related, it's
right.
A felony. If you're related, it's considered a picnic. Yeah, either or. It's considered a reunion at that point, and there should be t-shirts made about it.
It's considered a debate over the Washington Redskins or the Dallas Cowboys.
One of those two, yeah, it's fine. So, Jesus Christ. And whether you're still mad that Kentucky allowed black people on the basketball team in 1960. 61 or whatever the fuck Rupp let him on there. You know. I'm telling you, I don't think they should have. It started with that goddamn Tom Paine.
You keep saying that shit. I'm going to pull your pants down and sodomize
you,
boss.
Fine. Do it. And he was like, all right. I dare you.
All right.
Now, in 1998, he pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge of third degree sexual abuse. So he's had 5 years apart two sexual issues.
Yeah.
I've never been charged for anything sexual in a criminal manner.
No.
So twice in your life.
38 years, I've figured it out.
Yeah, all of my sexual activities have been legal and above board, I feel like. So
far.
This is a problem here. So he pleads guilty to that, and he's placed on probation, 2 years probation. He had his full rights restored in June of 2002. So as of June of 2002, this guy is an above board citizen.
Yeah.
He's a taxpaying above board citizen with full rights restored who just happens to have a child sodomy charge on his record, which, you know, I don't know how you can. It says his rights were restored in June in the court thing. And I'm like, can you ever really be fully restored? Can your rights or reputation, for that matter, ever be restored?
Rights and reputation. Two different things.
Like, Michael Jackson always had his rights, but his reputation was a bit sullied, I'm just going to say.
Smidge.
When you put that, and he was, and this was a criminal charge. Right. This wasn't even civil shit.
A lot more people know who Michael Jackson is.
Yeah, that's true, and especially than this guy. So, September 10th, 2011, this is when this all starts here. Now, okay. We have to talk a little bit about Stanley Neese, first of all. He has issues, okay? And everybody says he has issues. He's fuck, man. It's so hard to describe this guy. One of his friends said, a neighbor of his said, quote, he was unpredictable. Little things would set him off.
Yeah.
Then the neighbor also said, he's been trouble ever since he's been here. He's always been trouble. is what he said. He said that he would, like, you'd hear him yelling and screaming, and then he'd be, like, mumbling to himself on the porch of his trailer, just getting angry and mumbling and all pissed off and go back inside. He was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
He had some kind of disability that we're not sure about. We think it could be a mental thing where he'd received, according to his landlord, Neese received monthly disability checks from Social Security Administration. Mm-hmm. Now, the landlord didn't know what his disability was, but he knew he got that. As crazy as he sounds and as he's acted, I'm thinking that might be a part of it, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ, man, this is fucking nuts. So apparently at one point here this morning, it built up for months. They said his neighbors said that Stanley's been showing an increasing hostility toward them, toward his neighbors, which he's in the right place because he doesn't have many.
Right.
So, but he's been in this trailer area. He's had I don't want to call it a park.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty formal.
Yeah.
I feel like this is just an area where people have chosen to put trailers.
Yeah.
There's no formal arrangement. apparently, yeah, he's been weird to his neighbors, and he's been such a pain in the ass to the whole neighborhood that the landlord had started eviction proceedings.
Uh-oh.
Over this, just because no one could take him anymore, and everyone was like, can we get this fucking lunatic out of here?
Yeah.
So they were looking for a reason to kick him out. So at one point here, on September 10th, this is fucking nuts. Okay, I'll get right into it, I guess. Sherry Ann Robinson was a witness here. She said that apparently his wife made him breakfast and his eggs were cold.
Yeah.
And he lost his fucking mind.
Well, fuck yeah.
He went nuts.
Uh-huh.
Lost his mind and became enraged about the breakfast. Like, to the point where he fucking threw the plate, was not having this shit, and didn't just go get an Egg McMuffin like a normal person. Normal people would just be like, it's kind of gross. First of all, normal people would just eat it and be like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, and even if you're...
then walk out of the house slowly, and the bitch never cooks what I fucking want. She never gets it done on time.
Normal people.
She knows it takes me 10 minutes to get
this guy,
my face shaved.
Yeah, normal. What is wrong with her? Yeah, that's a normal asshole. Mm-hmm. But this guy, he, you know, even if you're a dick about it, fucking eggs are cold, then you go to get an Egg McMuffin.
Right.
He has a different thing. What he does is he goes and gets a shotgun.
Oh boy!
Over the eggs being cold, there is now gunplay over eggs.
Okay,
he is enraged about the eggs being cold. They watched him. We'll get to this. They watched him as he stormed across several lawns in his pajamas on a Saturday morning, firing shots from a 12-gauge shotgun into trailers.
Holy shit. Other people's trailers.
Oh, yeah. This is after he does what he does. We'll get to this shit, okay? But this is, if you looked out the window,
yeah,
you saw your crazy neighbor in his pajamas walking through yards, firing off rounds from a 12-gauge.
Wow.
Which is the craziest thing you could fucking see.
Yeah.
The pajamas make it even funnier. I really hope they were... I hope it wasn't like just sweatpants and a t-shirt. Right. I hope it was like the button-up one that looks like it's got the big collar.
The butt flap.
Yeah, no. No, not one of those.
Oh, you mean like the silky ones?
Yeah, like a silk, like a button with the flap, like the formal ones, like you're wearing a suit for some
collar,
yeah, like you're wearing
that is a weird one.
Why am I wearing
very
this to
relaxed,
bed?
Very relaxed business suit.
Yeah, why does it have buttons on it? Button down fucking
shirt. They even
shirt.
Have them like on the wrist.
Yeah, what are my cufflinks? Where are my cufflinks, honey? I'm going to bed. Dear?
Where are my soft cufflinks?
I've misplaced my cufflinks, please. I cannot go to bed without my cuffs properly linked. Good fucking Lord,
those
man.
Those are stupid pajamas.
They're very stupid. That would have made it even funnier, though.
Your boxers like a real man.
Like, yeah, yeah. Or I would have, just, obviously, a grown man in feety pajamas would have been the funniest thing with a shotgun rampaging through a trailer park here. What he did is, he starts out, Jesus Christ. We'll let a neighbor say it. Yeah. Steve Smith, who is a neighbor, he saw the shootings from his window of his mobile home. When he walked outside, he said that Stanley took a shot at him, but missed.
Because
he heard and went outside, what's going on? Stanley's like, there's a guy, pow, and take a shot at him. He's like, holy shit. He fucking runs back in his trailer.
He missed with a shotgun? How bad of a shot is he?
Yeah. This is what he witnessed. He said, quote, he chased his wife around that Jeep shooting at her. He was chasing his wife like it was a game of tag. Come here.
Around the Jeep.
And she's fucking ducking and diving under Jeeps while he's firing shots off at her on a fucking Saturday morning in his pajamas in the front yard like it's a game of tag.
Take it easy, man. Those parts are expensive.
Jesus. Yeah, you know that. So... He said, quote, I heard her running and screaming, which, yeah. Good Lord here. The Sherry Ann Robinson that saw it, she said that Stanley became enraged when his wife gave him cold eggs. He said, quote, this is what the Sherry Ann said, quote, she tried to run to tell my family and he shot them too because they found out about it. Listen to this shit. She runs out of there, gets away from him around the Jeep and runs to a neighbor's house. So he says, I'll fucking kill everybody there then.
Wow.
I don't care. So who he ends up killing is Sandrinese, his wife. He also, in the trailer originally, he shoots her daughter, 28-year-old Sandra R. Strong. Then he goes into the neighbor's house there and kills Dennis Turner, 31 years old, Tammy Kilborn, 40 years old, and then, this name is crazy because we just did this and recognize this, Teresa Fugate.
What the 30, shit?
Yeah, that's the same name as the Wallace, remember that, in Georgia there that we just did? Yeah, Teresa Fugate, another dead, killed, murdered.
Wow, Fugate.
Fugate. Teresa, too, same thing, I think.
Unbelievable.
She's 30 years old. So he goes into that trailer.
Five people,
one in his own house, and then four, including his wife, in a neighbor's house.
Unbelievable.
He kills them all.
For eggs.
For eggs, over eggs. He lost his fucking mind. And that's what he was yelling about when he got in there. Fucking eggs, that's the last shit. You're not fucking eggs. Can't give them to me fucking hot. That's what he was saying in there. That's what this woman heard as he shot her whole family. So... You know,
holy,
this is what he was complaining
shit.
About, is the eggs. He just, that was the last straw, or the last shell. He just
the last
snapped.
Yolk.
That was the last fucking yolk, and he snapped, and that was that, man.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Now, Fugate is that Sherry Robinson's sister. Turner is her cousin, and Kilborn was a person who just happened to step onto the porch of another mobile home, and he shot it, and he shot her. That person that was the same as the guy who said, I looked out, he took a shot at me, and I ran inside. She looked out, he took a shot at her and killed her.
Unbelievable.
So she never even saw it coming. It's at this point, Robinson said, Fugate was shot in front of her 7-year-old daughter.
God, Jesus.
He then turned the gun on the 7-year-old. He turns the gun on the 7-year-old. And Robinson said, quote, her daughter said, please, please don't shoot me. The 7-year-old said that. So he said, he looked at her for a minute, took a beat and said, all right, you can leave. And she ran out. So he let the little girl go. He let the 7-year-old go. But he was about to shoot her. But I don't know if that that little please, please of a little girl maybe snapped him into some sort of coherency of what the fuck he was doing and saw, holy shit, this isn't good.
Also, I mean, a shotgun only holds five unless he's throwing more shells in.
I feel like he's throwing more shells in. Yeah, because he kills five people, shoots at a neighbor and misses,
shoots
at another neighbor and kills him.
He's certainly throwing more shells.
Dumping and pumping, man. He's fucking doesn't give a fuck. He's going off on this shit. So he does let the little girl go, which is... thank
that's
fuck
something.
7 year old at least. I mean, that's like I said, if she didn't say anything, he would have shot her.
Yeah,
he was about to shoot her. Yeah. She just said no, please, please, and he was like, Jesus Christ, what am I doing?
Yeah,
this girl is seven.
She used to be an egg 7 years ago.
Yeah, well, I hate eggs, damn it. So she ran out. When she ran out and told the neighbors, and the neighbors called police. Well, actually, the way Sherry put it, quote, she went out and told her neighbors and the neighbors called the law, because they say the word the law down there. They don't say that.
That is some weird shit.
They don't say the police.
No.
So now Robinson here, the neighbor said that Stanley had never appeared threatening to her, but he knows that he has a violent history and he's kind of a nut job, but never appeared threatening to her. Yeah. They figured out that he did have that little criminal record that wasn't so little. They said that he had a county prosecutor said that they had dealt with Niece before, the current county prosecutor, but it had been on nonviolent issues like child support, and he had been there before the prosecutor a month ago for a traffic ticket.
Okay.
So nothing crazy or anything like that. Now police arrived at the mobile home park. It's about 90 miles southeast of Lexington here. As they arrived to the mobile home park, Stanley,
yeah,
is on the porch.
What's he got?
Of his, he's on the porch of the trailer, and he's fucking sitting there.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think he knows the police are coming at some point after he's gone on a fucking shooting rampage through shit. We'll give a quote here from Rachel Whitehead. She said, "We heard a few gunshots go off, and this is about the child running out."
Oh, boy.
"We heard a few gunshots go off, and we seen her running, and we seen her run out of the trailer."
Oh, Lord.
We seen her run out of the trailer.
Lord.
Yes.
Education in this part of the country.
That's when she saw Sandra Niece run there with where all these other people were. She says, quote, "He shot Dennis. That was Rachel's boyfriend. He shot him in the leg. He run through to the bathroom and he got down in the bathtub with his girlfriend Rachel, and Sandra was in the bathtub, and then he killed them all."
Oh, God.
So he ran in there and they went to try to hide in the bathtub and he just butchered him in the bathtub.
Unbelievable.
He just found him in there and just shot him the fuck up. These people had
nothing to do with this.
Nothing. They're neighbors. They had nothing to do with this. They didn't touch his fucking eggs. Whitehead says, quote, "We all run to in her back bedroom." Yeah, I know. That's even more painful to hear.
It hurts so bad.
"We all run to her in the back bedroom. Stanley busted through Tammy's door and went through there with a rifle." So that's the thing. They went in there and they tried to close him off from them to protect the neighbor, and he busted through. It's a fucking trailer door. Yeah. It's not a big oak door.
A toothpick.
Yeah, you're breaking right through that. He said, so he broke through there with a rifle. She said, quote, "I told Stanley, I said, please don't shoot me and my girls. I want to live to see them grow up. So he pointed the gun at me and he told me, get out of here." So that was, he let this person go also. That was that. As she left, she said she heard, she imagine the guilt of you leaving this too.
Survivor's guilt.
As she left, she heard Niece shoot Tammy Kilborn there. Or I think that was her name, Tammy. Mm-hmm. She said, quote, "I heard the gun go off twice and I heard her scream." So he took two shots at that lady on the porch. Pow, pow. And did. She said that he shot and killed Teresa Fugate while Fugate's 7-year-old sat on her lap. So that is horrible.
He got her in the head then.
Yeah. She says, quote, "The daughter was begging to Stanley not to shoot her mom, and he did, and told her to go and run."
What the fuck?
Yeah. Right. And this is over eggs.
Holy
shit.
This
is fucking bonkers, man. They, yeah, the Jesus, the Robinson lady said that she was happy that he allowed the young girl to take off. Yeah. And she said, quote, he just got mad at his wife for not making his breakfast right, and he shot her. They said that, quote, this is a relative said, quote, I don't understand what could make somebody do something so horrible and take so many lives. Another person who was a relative of one of these people, I think they're all related in this town. He says, quote, I think he was really jealous about Stanley. He said he would give her, Sandra, dirty looks and say something smart to her. So they were all saying that, you know, he was always kind of shitty to her. Family members said they wish they'd paid more attention to a conversation they had with Sandra years ago. They say years ago, she told them that Stanley threatened to kill her if she ever left him. Yeah. And they were just like, oh, that's just good loving. That's just good Kentucky loving down there. They said they wish they might have paid attention for that there. And the thing is, to round this out, Stanley shoots everybody, shoots all five people, like we said, in fucking cold-blooded a fashion as you could possibly do it.
Maybe the worst way ever.
This is a cult. I mean, just indiscriminately. Yeah. I'll shoot at you. I'll fucking shoot at you. You come out of your house, I'll take a shot at you.
A mom with her daughter on her lap.
And a mom, with the daughter saying, please don't shoot my mom. Yeah. Doesn't mean know anything, and he shoots her in the head. Lets the daughter go, which is honestly whatever. So the police show up. They pull up and they can see Stanley on the porch, and he's got a shotgun in his hand still. And obviously they're a bit fucking leery because this guy's been shooting at everybody. Yeah. So they keep their distance. They park back. They get there. Some time has gone by. Yeah. Obviously it takes a minute to get there. They get out of their car, he just puts the shotgun under his chin and blows his fucking head off and ends it.
That's it.
That's it. Stanley ends it right there in the trailer park on his own front porch.
Over eggs. Holy shit.
Shoots his whole family, the neighbor's family, everybody, goes on a fucking rampage and blows his fucking head off with a 12-gauge shotgun over eggs.
What a morning.
What a fucking Saturday morning, man.
Wow.
Holy shit. That is amazing. And imagine the cops getting there.
Yeah.
And then seeing that, first of all, they know this is a scene and they expect to be, you know, there might be some gunplay.
Yeah.
And this guy blows his fucking head off. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
And then you have to go into the houses and find the... Imagine being the guys, small town cops, that had to fucking investigate this murder scene and
in
see this horror.
Trailer bathroom?
Oh,
that
man.
Just
in a trailer bathtub.
Comes apart. Two shots.
Three fucking stacked in there,
wow,
man. Three bodies in there that he just butchered in a bathtub.
Unreal.
And shot that poor Teresa Fugate, shot his wife, shot the poor lady next door, a couple doors down. And that one guy was lucky that he missed. I mean, Christ, he must have dove out of the way.
Sweet
or something.
Pete.
Fucking insane, right?
I'm bummed we didn't get a last meal.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
He didn't even have eggs.
Well, that's what I mean. Imagine that would have been amazing if he had a last meal and he was like, eggs, make them fucking
hot.
Warm.
How, hot as fuck.
If I'm the cook, I would have 100% made him and let him get ice cold.
Sit him on that counter
and take him there and go, that's all right. What's wrong?
Enjoy, asshole.
Stanley, what's wrong? Are your eggs cold? Your eggs cold, pal? No matter what he orders, he gets cold eggs for his last meal. Sorry. You're getting cold eggs, asshole.
Enjoy, dickhead.
And watch him fucking lose his mind in the cell.
It's what's on the menu for everybody.
Sorry,
else.
Dick. My bad. But so he shoots himself in the fucking head, and we never really do cases where it ends like that, because then that's the end of it. We can't do like any
court.
There's no repercussion. Right. There's no, this is the punishment. Right. There's no anything. There's just no quotes. Yeah, there's no quotes. There's no anything.
There's not even a chance for the police to fuck this one up.
No chance for the police to fuck it up, for prosecutors to mess it up, for crooked defense, none of this shit. So,
for an amazing expert witness to say something ridiculous?
Ridiculous, or to fuck up evidence.
That's
or,
what makes them crazy.
That's the thing. That's usually the thing. We have these crazy cases, and it's like, and then the law got involved, and now let's really watch it unfold. Whereas this was like, well, I mean, he just ended it right there, which is fine and dandy and all, but I mean, you know, how do we extract a whole episode out of that? So I'm like, I'll I'll, instead of expanding it, I'll condense it,
yeah,
and we'll get it done in 25 minutes and do it as a bonus episode.
I mean, his last meal was kind of 12-gauge buckshot. So.
It really kind of was 12-gauge buckshot. But Jesus Christ, when he woke up that morning,
yeah,
he wasn't planning this.
No.
He was not planning this.
He woke up like, I'm going to have the best morning.
I feel like if he was planning it, he would have got dressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Put some real pants
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I feel like you don't rampage in your pajamas. No. Like, it's just not, you don't, I would feel less powerful
yeah.
if I was doing that.
Oh my God, the outfit is so key to
yeah.
the actual assault.
Yeah.
Everybody, the guy in Columbine, the two
oh,
kids
the,
Columbine,
the trench coats, the dude, you want to look tough,
yeah,
you wanna,
the,
you know,
the dude in the theater, everybody, you dress to what
the
you're
The Terminator
doing.
Looked like a badass.
Yeah.
If he was in his pajamas, you wouldn't have been as afraid of him.
I just saw Arnold
Sarah Connor, you know, and they were like, why don't you put some pants on, and that was the end of the movie. That wouldn't have been a classic. They wouldn't
matter
have made
fact,
five of them.
Matter of fact, Arnold, it's so key to it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was naked and he
yeah.
went and found clothes
those
to go
clothes,
be a badass,
because he needs to, you need to make yourself up. This guy was like, fuck it, dude, I got these pajamas,
like fucking LL Bean.
I got these pajamas that have smiley face tacos on them I got at Walmart, and I really kind of thought it was cool, and I'm wearing them. I don't give a shit. I picture him barefoot.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking or in, worse, in slippers.
At best.
Imagine him in slippers.
With ducks on him.
With ducks. Pow, pow, pow. What a fucking mess.
They squawk every time he takes a step.
As he chases somebody.
Unbelievable.
What a fucking mess, man. Oh. That's a disaster. That is... Wow. I don't even know.
Kentucky has really lived
Kentucky,
up to it.
Kentucky, man.
This week.
What the fuck are you people doing in Kentucky? I don't know what you're doing, but that is Kentucky right there, and that is another case. Stanley
yeah.
Niece
yeah.
Done here, and wow, I just, that was a wild one. I
ridiculous.
Couldn't. Mount Carmel, Kentucky, everybody. Yeah. Enjoy that shit.
And Fleming County.
And thank you guys for everything. We try to release, we're going to try to get like one of these out like once a month. I think we have released one last month.
Sure.
We're going to try to get out where we do like a little mini case, something crazy that we found that's maybe doesn't fill a whole case, but is absolutely nuts. And we got to tell you about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to do one of those once a month for our wonderful, wonderful Patreon people
mm-hmm.
that help us out so goddamn much. And we really just appreciate the shit out of them and want to say thank you. So we'd have to do bonus episodes for Stitcher, but our bonus episodes, we kind of just sit and talk, and we talk about some documentaries or a little addition to a case, like, oh, I heard this and that on that one case we did or something like that. But when we release it on Patreon, those are the ones that like have actual meat.
There's a little bit, yeah.
Of a content of a story.
Some protein in it.
So, yeah. So thank you guys for everything like that. And it's a little protein, little egg in there, little yolk. You got to put some yolk in there.
Not just whites.
Not just the whites. So listen to us every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts. Signing off for James and Jimmy.
Bye.